We are in our fourth and final week of this series that we've been doing for the month of February called Don't Miss It. And man, if we have not been hit with some weather this month. So if you have missed any of these the sermons in this series, you can go on our website and catch up and listen to all the parts. They all kind of go together. So I would encourage you to go and do that. But as we conclude this series, Don't Miss It this week, I got a text message this week from somebody in the congregation. And the text message said, I ran over something on my way to work this morning, and I got two flat tires. I just wanted you to know that I didn't miss it. So I appreciate everyone paying attention to the title of our series. The series that we've been going about is based on the reality that when it comes to you and I, we all have the potential to miss things that are happening right in front of us. You could miss things like an exit, you could miss an appointment on your calendar, you can miss a significant opportunity or something happening in the lives of your kids. Whatever it is, we all have the potential to miss things that are happening right in front of us for a whole bunch of different reasons. And when we read through the Bible, what we find is that this can also be true of our lives spiritually. It is possible for God to be working right in front of us, and for whatever reason, we can miss it. And for the last several weeks, we have been looking at examples in the Bible where religious people would witness God doing amazing things right in front of them, and they would miss it. They would fail to recognize the work of God. Now, these religious people, they saw a man who wasn't able to move for 38 years. This man suddenly stood up, picked up his bed, and walked just because Jesus told him to do it. And their reaction to that event was to tell the man, you're not allowed to carry your bed on the Sabbath. They missed it. On another occasion, they saw Jesus heal a man's withered hand in church, and their response was to get mad about it. Whenever we read stories like this in the Bible, there's something in us that starts to say, hey, I don't want to be like these guys. I don't want to miss the work of God like they did in their lives. I don't want to miss it in my life. So the goal of this series has been to rid ourselves of anything that might cause us to miss the work of God that's happening right in front of us. So far in the series, we looked at an attitude, and we learned that we are prone to miss the work of God in our lives when we limit the ways that we can be taught. That was 1 week. Last week, we saw a pattern that Jesus pointed out where you favor the outside and neglect the inside, and we learned that we are prone to miss the work of God in our lives when we keep portions of our lives from God. And this morning, as we finish this series, we're going to look at another way that we can potentially miss the work of God that's happening in our lives right in front of us. So if you have your Bible with you, you can open up to Luke chapter 10. That's what we're going to be studying this morning, Luke chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible with you, we'll put it up on the screens. But this morning, we're going to look at another encounter with Jesus. And the encounter that we're going to look at this morning is really short, so we're just going to jump right into it. I'm going to read the whole thing, and then we'll go back and look at it in detail. So Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38, we read this. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But Jesus answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. So this is the encounter that we're going to look at this morning. For the first 3 weeks of the series, we have been learning how not to miss the work of God through the example, the negative example of some religious people who didn't really even like Jesus at all. So it was really easy for us to look at their mistakes and look at their bad examples and consider them the bad guys. Well, in this story that we're going to look at today, there are no bad guys. All the people in this story are likable. We can relate to them, we can sympathize to them, and still what we learn is even the good guy, or in this case, even the good girl, can still miss the work of God happening right in front of them. Even the good guys have the potential to miss it. So let's go back and look at this story from the beginning. The first verse, 38, says this. As they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Jesus comes into the village and Martha brings him into her house, and we must not lose sight of the fact of how big of a deal this must have been to Martha. Jesus' popularity is increasing. Everywhere Jesus goes, crowds of people come to listen to him teach about God and to watch him heal sick people. And people are starting to believe that maybe this Jesus guy actually is the Messiah sent from God. And then Jesus, with all of his fame and popularity, he actually RSVPs yes for an invitation to come over to Martha's house. That's a big deal for Martha, isn't it? Now, to welcome somebody into their house in this culture would likely mean that Martha would invite some of her friends and family to come over, and then Jesus would bring with him some of his disciples, and they would probably share a meal together, but most importantly, they would spend time together. So notice, the original intent of Martha's invitation was to spend time with Jesus. Do you see that here? That's why she welcomed Jesus over to her house in the first place, because she wanted to spend time with Jesus more than anything else. Now, if you were going to invite someone like Jesus over to your house, then there's some stuff that would need to get done first, don't you think? Last week we talked about our hearts being like a house, and sometimes we don't let God look at all the rooms because we don't want him to see what's in there. Well, look at Martha's situation. Jesus, the actual Son of God, is literally coming over to her house. So I would imagine Martha's to-do list that week grew by the minute, don't you think? Have you ever hosted the family at your house for Thanksgiving? The point of having the family over for Thanksgiving is to spend time with the family. But that quickly gets overshadowed, doesn't it? With all the stuff that needs to get done, all the house cleaning, all the table setting, all the meal planning, all of that other stuff. All of a sudden, this little word welcomed takes on a whole new meaning. It's a huge endeavor. So this is the picture that I would imagine is happening to Martha in her world when Jesus is coming over. Martha all of a sudden turns into Martha Stewart, and she's the kind of person who is going to do this dinner party right. Can anybody relate with Martha? Do you have a personality like this? Do you have any Martha moments? Even guys can have Martha moments. Here's what a Martha moment is: when your good intentions get out of control. You know what that's like? Have you ever had good intentions and then all of a sudden it got too big to handle? Here's what we learn in the next verse. Martha's got a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Now get the picture. There's all this stuff that needs to get done at Martha's house. The to-do list is huge. Time has run out. Martha is being spread thin. The guests are starting to arrive, and she desperately needs some help. Can you see it? Only to find out that her help is sitting. Now, have you ever felt the emotion that Martha must be feeling in this moment? Maybe for you, your help is a coworker. Maybe for you, it's a spouse who was supposed to help you. Maybe it's a friend or a classmate or a relative. But then when you really needed their help, you found them sitting. Do you know what that's like? Can you feel the feelings that Martha must be feeling in this moment? Now, the most painful part of this whole story, at least for me, is that in this story, Martha is the one who is presented as being in the wrong. That pains me. Maybe it's because of my personality. Maybe it's because I'm the older sibling. Maybe it's because in my life I have a lot of Martha moments. But in this story, my initial reaction is to stick up for Martha and get mad at Mary. Don't you feel that way? Because in my mind, the problem with this story is obvious. It's the difference between these two words, sitting and serving. From my perspective, Martha is getting stuff done, and Mary is just sitting there. From my perspective, it's better to be serving than to be sitting. It seems to me it's better to be doing something than it would be to do nothing. But what this passage in Luke shows us is that sometimes even our well-intentioned activity can become the problem. Notice the word that describes the outcome of all of Martha's serving. It says that Martha was distracted with much serving. This word distracted, it means to have one's attention diverted. Diverted from what? Remember what the original intention that Martha had by inviting Jesus to her house in the first place? It was to spend time with Jesus. That was her original goal. That was the most important thing for her, was to spend time with Jesus. That is why she invited him over to her house in the first place. And then Martha had a Martha moment. And her good intentions got out of control. And she started planning, and she started doing, and she started serving, and she started moving, to the point where she lost sight of what was really important. Her attention was diverted, and Martha missed it. Do you see that in the story? She invited Jesus over to her house because Martha wanted to be the one who was sitting with Jesus, but she got so caught up with everything else that she ended up being the one who missed it. Do you see that? Now, look what happens next. Verse 40. Martha went up to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." This is not a good look for Martha. Do you think when Martha originally invited Jesus over to her house, she had it in her mind, "Hey, hopefully when Jesus gets here, I can get into a petty fight with my sister in front of everybody, because that would be awesome." This is kind of embarrassing, isn't it? I mean, I totally understand it. I understand how Martha's feeling. I have thought and maybe even said these exact things about my sibling before. But unfortunately, it seems like in this story, Martha may have missed it. But I don't think Martha completely misses it, because Jesus stops Martha before it's too late, and Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. Look how Jesus responds in verse 41. Jesus answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." So Jesus pulls Martha back, so she can get a big picture look of what's happening in her life right there. And Jesus says, "Look, Martha, there are many, many things that are going on in your life right now. Many things. And these many things that are going on, they are causing you, Martha, to be anxious, to be troubled. Martha, they're affecting your emotions. They're affecting your attitudes. They're even affecting your relationships. And Martha, even worse than that, these many things are causing you to miss the one thing that is necessary." Do you see that in here? Jesus points out that the many things that Martha is doing are causing her to miss the one thing that's most important, the one thing that Jesus calls the good portion. And in this story, for Martha, the one thing was to spend time with Jesus. That's why she had him over in the first place. That's why all of her busyness began. But what we learn from Martha is that you can miss the one thing because of the many other things. And in this series, our one thing has been that we don't want to miss the work of God. That's the one thing that we said we wanted to do at the beginning of the series. And here, the example of Martha shows us that we all have the potential to miss the work of God in our lives when we allow the many things to get in the way of the one thing. Do you follow me? So let's take a look at our own lives. How many people here can identify with Martha when Jesus told her, "Martha, you have many things going on in your life that cause you anxiety and trouble"? How many people here that's true of? That's just a Bible way of saying that Martha is busy. How many people here today are busy? If you didn't raise your hand, you're busy doing something else, because everybody is busy. And we started this series and introduced this don't miss it idea. Every one of us automatically thought of moments in our lives where we missed something. So in your I missed it moment, how many of those I missed it moments were because you were too busy? You were juggling so many things that suddenly you dropped one of them. Is that true of anybody? Do you have problems in your life like that? Do you know what advice we often give to people who are so busy that they start to miss things? We tell them that they need to prioritize. You know what prioritize means? It means to arrange in order of importance. And the reason that we tell people to prioritize is because we all know that of the many things that we get involved in, not all of those things are created equally. Some things that we involve ourselves are more important than other things, and prioritizing helps us to make sure that we don't spend all of our time on the many things and miss the important things. So here is our principle for this morning. We are prone to miss the work of God when we fail to make him our priority. One of the surefire ways that you and I can miss the work of God that is happening right in front of us is if we do not make God a priority in our lives. And we all agreed at the beginning of this series that we were going to be different. We weren't going to be the kind of people who miss it. Well, here is where the rubber meets the road. When it comes to your life, are you making God a priority? And you're all looking back at me like, well, we're here, aren't we? You know, it's snowing and we still came. In week one, we saw that all the different ways that God can work, the Bible tells us that there are a few specific ways that God loves to work. God loves to work through prayer. God loves to work through the Bible. And God loves to work through the church. If you were to make a list of the many things that you are busy with in your life, would these three be on your list? And if they do make your list, where do they show up on your list? Are they a priority? Are they up near the top? Or are they down in the bottom in the if I get around to it section? Because if we are really serious about not wanting to be the kind of people who miss the work of God in our life, then Martha is telling us, you need to set your priorities or you are going to miss it. Now, let me make a quick case for why I think we need to more than just talk about priorities. I think when it comes to priorities, if we're really serious about not missing it, then we need to have a plan. Because priorities need to be planned if they're really going to work. There's a big difference between what we ought to do and what we actually do. We all might say, well, of course, God is a priority in my life, Pastor. He's number one, right in the top, all by himself. Praise Jesus. We would all say that because we all know that it ought to be a priority. But what if your life was audited? What if somebody followed you around every day, wrote down how you spent your time, what you spent your money on, what you did with everything? Would what they wrote down actually match what you say is important? Is there a difference between what we say is important and what we treat as important? Priorities need to be planned, because without a plan, we're all prone to having Martha moments where our good intentions get out of control. Here's why. I live in a busy world just like you do, and there's something that we all have learned from experience, and here's what it is. Everything in the moment seems urgent. Isn't this true? In the heat of the moment, right then when it's happening, everything is urgent, everything is important. In the heat of the moment for Martha, even the smallest things got her anxious and troubled and seemed to be urgent. Maybe you made a New Year's resolution that you were going to get in shape this year, and that was a great idea on January 2nd. And then on January 3rd, it was urgent for you to sleep in 15 minutes. And then on January 4th, it was urgent for you to get to the office early. And then on January 5th, it was urgent for you to run some errands instead of going to the gym, and so on and so on and so on. In the moment, everything seems urgent, whether it is truly urgent or not. Isn't this true in life? Martha was going to spend some time with Jesus, but then it was urgent for her to make some food. And then it was urgent for her to clean the house. And then it was urgent for her to make homemade centerpieces for the tables, and so on and so on. And all of these urgent things almost caused Martha to miss her time with Jesus, because Martha didn't have a plan to make sure that spending time with Jesus remained her priority. If Martha had a plan, then maybe she would have known, even though cooking this food seems urgent, even though preparing this food has got me all anxious and troubled, cooking this food is not on the top of my list. Spending time with Jesus is. Maybe if Martha had a plan, she could have spared herself some trouble and anxiety and made sure that she didn't miss it. Priorities need to be planned because everything seems urgent. If not missing the work of God in your life is a priority, then do you plan? Do you have a plan to make sure that the many things in your life don't get in the way of the one thing that is really important? Here's the questions. What urgent things are keeping you from reading your Bible? What are the urgent things that are keeping you from prayer? We need a plan to ensure that the things on the bottom of the list don't keep us from the things on the top of the list. Next, priorities need to be planned because not everything is lasting. In this story, Jesus commends Mary for choosing the good portion. Jesus says, Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And according to Jesus, what makes the good portion is that it cannot be taken away. It's lasting. Some of the many things that feel like urgent things in the long run won't be lasting things. Jesus says, choose the good portion. Maybe choosing the good portion in your life and mine means that we need to bump those three areas that God loves to work. Maybe we need to bump them up higher on our list. Because the Bible is very clear that what God does in prayer and what God does in the Bible and what God does through the church, those are lasting things. Maybe this week we need to look at our list and maybe we will find that some fleeting things have crept ahead of the lasting things and some changes need to be made. Because the story of Martha is teaching us that priorities need to be planned because not everything is lasting. When I was a kid growing up in California, I remember fighting with my parents because I was not allowed to go to Sunday morning baseball practice with the rest of the team because I had to go to church. Church was a priority. Maybe it wasn't a priority that I had a say in when I was 9 years old, but it was a priority. Do you know what ended up happening? Not one single kid from my baseball team made it to the big leagues. Now you would think with all those extra practices, somebody would have got good enough to make it all the way, but nobody did. Hear this. Going to church doesn't get you to heaven, but the stuff that you miss church for doesn't always last. According to Jesus, what makes the good portion is that it lasts. And I'm not trying to tell you that coming to church all the time is going to get you any bonus points with God. I'm not trying to tell you that it's going to make your fortune change whatsoever. What I am saying is that if the Bible tells us that God loves to work through the church, then the more you are a part of the church, the more prone you are to witnessing the work of God, which is what we said we all wanted to do in the first place. We didn't want to be the kind of people who miss it, right? It would have been the saddest story ever if Jesus showed up at the synagogue that one morning, and he got up in front of everybody and he said, "Will the man with the withered hand please stand up? I want to heal you today." And everybody looked around and said, "Well, they're at the lake this weekend." I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss the work of God in my life because of things that don't last. Now, hear me correctly. I'm not talking about church attendance. That's just an illustration. What I'm talking about is priorities. Are we allowing the fleeting things to come before the lasting things? Finally, priorities need to be planned because you can't do everything. I learned this lesson quickly when I was a freshman in college. When you're a freshman in college in the dorms, it's the first time in your life when you don't have any parents around to set your priorities for you. You can stay up as late as you want. You can do whatever you want. And at college, there are a lot of people and there are a lot of things that you could be doing. So when I was a freshman in college, I would stay up till like 3 a.m. every single night, not really doing anything, but just because I could. it wasn't very long after the first failed test that I learned, not everything you can do is what you ought to do. Martha almost missed her time with Jesus because she was trying to do everything. But I imagine that Jesus told Martha to put the pots down, told Martha to stop with the Swiffer, told Martha to quit bedazzling the place cards for the table, and Jesus and Martha, they spent some time together. And I bet for Martha, this time spent with Jesus was something that she cherished for a long time after. Maybe this morning, God is telling you that you need to put some stuff down. Not all of the many things that you are juggling are bad things, but you can't do everything. And even good things can become bad things when they cause you to miss things that are really important. Isn't that true? Maybe this morning God wants us to evaluate our list of priorities so that we don't miss it when God starts to work right in front of us. Maybe because of Martha's story, we need to make a plan. Because in the moment, everything is going to feel urgent. Everything is going to feel important. Everything is going to bide for your time and attention. And if we don't have a plan, how are we going to be able to decipher the urgent things from the important things, the fleeting things from the lasting things, the things that we could do from the things that we should do? If we really want to make sure that we don't become the kind of people who miss it, then let's become the kind of people who make plans for God to be our priority. So that in the heat of the moment, when everything is urgent and anxious and troubling and confusing, we can tell ourselves, stick to the plan. And maybe one day we will look back at our lives and be able to see the work that God has done because we made Him our priority instead of the urgent things, instead of the fleeting things, and instead of all the other things that we could have done. If we really want to be the kind of people who don't miss it, then we need to learn from Martha and make God our priority, and then stick to the plan. Are you with me? Let me pray for us. God, we thank you for the truth of your word, that in it we learn about you, and more importantly, we learn about us. God, I pray that this morning, that you would show us through the example of Martha some of the ways in which we might be missing it because of all of the many things that are overshadowing the one thing that is really important. God, I pray that this week that you would gently show us the areas in our life where there's some stuff that we might need to put down. Maybe not forever, maybe just for this season of our life so that we don't miss the one thing. There's some many things that we just don't have time for right now. God, I pray that you would show us in our life the many things that get us anxious and troubled. God, I pray that you would show us the different ways in which we can make you a priority in our life. God, we don't want to miss the work that you are going to do in front of us, and we especially don't ever want to miss the work that you've already done for us. The greatest work that you have ever done on our behalf was sending Jesus to live and do what we could not, to die for our sins in our place, so that we would be forgiven of our sin, have newness of life, and be made new into new creations by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that that same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Holy Spirit that you say is living in each one of us when we call on your name to be the Lord of our life, I pray that that same Holy Spirit would change us to not have Martha moments where we miss the important things for the sake of the things that don't last. We thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.